Hi, this is Steve, aka at AllUnthar on Twitter, and here are some more of my gaming vexes. Welcome to the first episode of AllUnthrex's Gaming Vexes. If you've arrived here, it's either because you've listened to later episodes and are working your way through the back catalogue, or you're completely new to the podcast and you're starting at the beginning, which, as we know, is a very good place to start. This is actually a reboot of the first episode that was published in April 2020. I've cleaned up the audio a bit to make it a bit easier to listen to, but I've left the content as it is. For those of you who are new to the podcast, it's fair to say that it's evolved considerably since I first started producing it. It's now firmly an example of troop-style podcasting, with many of the good friends I've made via tabletop RPGs contributing as we ruminate on games I've either GM'd or have been fortunate enough to play in. I've added this introduction to the original version as I don't feel it's representative of what the podcast has become. The presentation and content is fairly unstructured, and there's definitely a sense that this is a tentative first step. By all means, listen to it, but I urge you to have a listen to some of the later episodes before you decide whether it's for you or not. I particularly recommend episode 8, where we delve into Paul Baldowski's The Desanction, episode 13, where we talk about the Spy RPG, and episode 14, where a group of us talk about our love of gaming in Professor Tolkien's Middle-earth. This first episode is very much the origin story of the show, but hopefully its powers have grown over time. For those of you who are working your way through the back catalogue, welcome. You probably already know you enjoy the show, so this shouldn't put you off too much, I hope. And with that, onward. Okay, so welcome to the first of an irregular podcast. Intends to cover some of the things that strike me as interesting during my weekly tabletop role-playing game sessions. So, who am I? So I'm Steve, aka at AllUnthar on Twitter. I think it's usually traditional at this point to do a bit of a spiel on what your gaming history is, what your gaming bona fides are. But instead of doing that, I'm going to point you to episode 28 of the Grognard Files podcast, where I did my first, last and everything segment. I'm sure that anyone who listens to this gubbins will be well aware of the Grognard Files podcast. And if you aren't already, then you really need to get over there and listen to it. So what to expect from this? Well, it's going to be informal, it's going to be conversational, and it's going to be almost entirely unedited. And it's taken the lead, I think, from Che Webster's DM's Diary podcast, which also highly recommended, taking a lead in both style and format, I think. So, what am I trying to achieve with this podcast? Like many gamers, I like buying stuff. There's a whole industry out there that produce fantastic and shiny hardback books and other materials that look great on your bookshelves. And in the current, let's say, situation of increased stress with the lockdown, I'm purchasing an awful lot more than I used to. And so to try and validate my buying decisions, at least to come up with some vague rationale for why I do that, I'm trying to play at least one shot, if not a short series, every hardback game or supplement that I buy. Also, as a good friend said, any gamer who hasn't started a podcast is wasting this lockdown. And as the vast majority of my gaming is over Roll20, and in those situations, you tend to log on, make sure everyone's together, quick recap, and then on with the game, and then finish quite promptly, usually about 3 hours later. You don't get an awful lot of time to discuss this hobby that we obsess over and to consider some of the
points and issues that arise in gaming. So that's what I'd like to discuss on this podcast, to have it as in a very conversational way. I don't think this will offer any great revelations about RPGs in general, but I'll hope it'll help me at least to get some of the thoughts I have swirling around in my head into some sort of order, and possibly some interest to other people. In terms of format, it's just going to be reflections on things that have occurred to me whilst gaming over the intervening period, and also including any call-ins from other gamers, if anybody calls in, with their thoughts on the topics that come up. And really discussing these points in a spirit of discovering what it takes to be a better games master. I think, like many games masters and players, I exist in an almost constant state of questioning the quality of what I do. And this isn't an exercise in gaining validation at all, but in raising ideas and issues as they come up in play and then tune them over a bit to see what can be learned, if anything. So in the spirit of prompting some first conversations or first discussion about this, I'm just going to give you a quick run through on the games that I'm running and also the games I'm playing. I tend to games master more than I play. And at the moment, I'm GMing five games, four regularly and one only intermittently. The most consistent series that I've been running is RuneQuest, which has been running for about 2 years now. So I started just after my return from what gets called the deep freeze. We started off with RQ2, but then switched over to RQG, or RuneQuest Glorantha. I think it's still very much RuneQuest in flavour, although it's very heavily character-driven. Whether those two statements are mutually exclusive, I don't know. Perhaps worthy discussion. The game itself has been sort of quite long-running, with a consistent group of players. From the early days, four of them have been there from the outset. And in the very early days, we had one additional player join. But really, for most of the time, it's been the same five players. I'm very grateful to them for allowing me to exercise my GMing muscles whilst gaming with them. And I think it's thrown up quite a lot of points worthy of consideration, at least from my perspective. Not least, how do you balance a system of RuneQuest's lethality with a series that has a very definite storyline behind it, definitely the way I've been running it, and in which individual characters are embedded, heavily embedded. And so the whole issue about how you manage character death within that is quite important. Secondly, I've been running a game of D&D 5th edition. I've been running this for a group of friends that I first started gaming with back in the late 80s, when I really very first got back into, or very first got into role-playing games. In the first bloom of role-playing, I think, in the UK, from mid-80s onwards. And it's been an interesting contrast for me, in terms of system at least, with the lethality of RuneQuest. And I think for D&D 5e, what's really struck me is in a game where even intermediate level characters have a lot of hit points and really don't suffer any ill effects until they've lost almost all of them, how do you make players feel the jeopardy that their characters may be in until they're down to 10 hit points of having 0 hit points left? And I've noticed that when we're playing, and again, you know, almost all of this gaming is over roll 20. It's only when those last few hit points are left that players really start to lean in and really start to engage with the, as I say, the jeopardy their characters are in. And is this even needed in the game? Is the sense of jeopardy something that I feel I need to inject, but actually the players don't enjoy? The third game is Liminal, which I think, for those who aren't familiar, is a modern-day relatively rules light setting where vampires, ghosts, werewolves, the Fae exist. So it's a slightly World of Darkness vibe, but I get the sense it's a much more positive background to the game. Beautiful artwork in the book, fantastic artwork, and very evocative. And this game has brought into my mind the need for balance when running these sort of games. When I say these sort of games, I'm thinking about investigative games. Although obviously you can run liminal in any way you want, so that's certainly the way I've been running it. And there's a definite thread that runs through these types of games, procedural games, I think they're called, where certain pieces of information need to be obtained to be able to move forward. And how you balance the need to provide information for players, for their characters to be able to move forward, with spoon feeding the players and their characters. And this is maybe something I'll come back to maybe in the next one of these next episode. The fourth game is a game called Verm. It's a English translation of a French game where you play as people of the Upper Paleolithic during the Verm Interglacial. And this game is set against a semi-realistic background, but it's got the potential for including the influence of spirits and shamanic magic. So my consideration is where should the line be drawn, if it needs to be drawn at all, between a quasi-reality and a more fantastic approach where magic or metaphysical considerations come into play. And I know it's really down to the group playing at the end of the day, but I'm interested in what other people think and whether by making the game more fantastic, it loses something. Because I've got a particular interest in sort of archaeology and the peoples of the Ice Age. Not an academic interest, I'm just interested in that as a subject. But I'm interested in what people think. And the final game I'm running is the intermittent one, is Swords and Wizardry. And I'm actually using this system to run some of the classic White Dwarf scenarios, using this rule set. And I never played any form of Dungeons & Dragons back in the 80s or 90s. Most of my gaming was taken up with whatever came out the most recently. So it was a constant race to keep up with whatever the shiny newness was. And for me, GMing this game has brought home the game part of role-playing rather than the more storytelling or narrative aspects, which is really what I've been exploring with RuneQuest. Rather, perhaps a little bit contradictory, but that's where it's the storytelling has really come home for me. And actually running Swords and Wizardry and playing in OSR games generally has made me far more comfortable with playing by the rules, with the game aspect, as opposed to the role playing. Again, not that the two are mutually exclusive, but again, it's an interesting discussion as to where the balance lies. And really, this game has taught me about letting the dice fall where they may, much that the players may complain about the fates of their characters before. As to the games I've been playing, there are two of them. The first is an excellent Fall of Deltagreen series. So Fall of Deltagreen uses the gumshoe system, which has been lovingly put together by Martin. That's at mcookie123 on Twitter. It's fantastic. It's set in mid-60s America. We've moved on to the second arc of this series, and up to now we've been exploring strange goings on in the Deep South, and the game has now moved to Las Vegas in the early to mid 1960s, and fantastically put together, lots of flavour, lots of colour and depth, So that's a lot of fun. And the other one is a game of Old School Essentials, being run by Neil. So at Old Scouser Role Playing on Twitter. And he's running a game of Night's Dark Terror. And it's a great fun. So I think what Neil's doing is he's running the same series of games for two different groups. And I think it's quite interesting to see the different ways in which my group deals with the obstacles that come our way, as opposed to another group. I think, although we've had our share of character deaths, we've probably been a little bit more circumspect in our dealings. I think the other group are certainly racking up the character deaths in a far more spectacular fashion. So, for me then, what points of interest have come up recently? What are the things that I'd like to discuss amongst some of the other points that perhaps I might have touched on in this rambling discussion of what I'm up to at the moment? So really, the first one is, when is it acceptable to rewind a scene or a game when you discover a rule that has been misapplied or missed entirely? The second thing is, whilst it's acceptable, or at least accepted, that player characters undergo or receive physical damage, is it acceptable to steal their stuff? This is something that's come up in the RuneQuest game I'm playing, where I'm playing a scenario from the Johnstown Compendium called Throat of Winter. And in this, the opponents often will steal items from the characters, or even steal skills in some cases. And it's certainly, when it first happened in the last time I ran the game, there was a very definite change in tone. And I think it's just interesting to consider that. I know that certainly Robin Laws, when they're talking about running games, that characters really hate being taken prisoner and having control taken away from them. And I just wonder if, whereas physical damage to characters is seen as being fair game, perhaps their equipment is and their characters less so. It's interesting. I think it's worthy of discussion. And the last point, which I've already touched on, is about investigative games. So the difficult line to be drawn between spoon-feeding players to be able to move the game forward, because there is very definitely a narrative arc or a story to be told, or frustrating them by perhaps withholding information. And again, it's a fine line to draw. I'm interested in thoughts on that. So, to close, I hope you found this meander through my gaming life to be at least mildly diverting. And I'm very interested to hear your thoughts on what I've heard, what you've heard, or on the specific topics that I've put forward for the discussion. So you can call into My Gaming Vexes using the message link, which you'll find in the show notes, or you can download the Anchor app and search for Orlanth Rex's Gaming Vexes there. I'll do my very best to include any callbacks I do get, as that's what this thing is all about after all. So this is Steve, aka at Orlanthar, signing off. And this time more than ever, be excellent to each other. Thanks for listening to another exploration of My Gaming Vexes. If you've got any thoughts you'd like to add to what you've heard here, or a gaming vex of your own you'd like to offer up for discussion, you can contact me on Twitter at Orlanthar, or you can leave a voice message. The link's on the podcast webpage on Anchor, or can be found in the show notes. Until the next time, may all your games be free of vexatiousness, and be excellent to each other, always.